And people on 1,000 mics are going, what did we just tune into? You know,
they're hearing this isn't what it says.
They're hearing all the pre-show stuff, and we're just
doing
our thing. And
welcome, 1,000 mics. Yeah. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. We have 59 minutes remaining. This is all about wine. This is Mike. We have Ron with us, and we're going to be taking your calls in a minute. Actually, in a couple minutes. What else? Oh, tonight we are talking about Arkansas. So we are transmitting to you live from Altus. We are at
Altus.
We're actually on East Main Street, right across the little dirt road here called East Main Street from the U.S. Post Office. So we're down here. Hello to everybody in Altus. Welcome to the program. We hope you're listening. And join us in about a minute. We'll be right back. I'll have another announcement right after the intro. It's all about wine, Arkansas tonight. On Blog Talk Radio, 1,000 mics. We'll give you the phone number that'll come up right now. We'll be right back.
We have a variety of different sizes and bottles that are available.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio and 1000mics.com, featuring Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and let them know, you know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
We welcome your calls during this one-hour program. Go on air with us by dialing area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. Ask questions about any topic related to wine or voice your comments about the program. Chat with us on 1000mics.com. Just click on All About Wine in the show listing and send your comment in the comment box. Always entertaining and informative, it's All About Wine. And now, please welcome Ron.
Here he is.
Hi.
The wine master. Here he is, and I have one quick thing to play, and so give me a couple of seconds here. Hold on.
Yeah.
That's it. You know,
thank you very much.
Happy birthday, Ron. This is,
thank you very much.
You see, he's working here for us, for you the listener, for everybody out there in the world listening right now on his birthday. And you can't get good labor like that these days.
Not anymore, you can't. Not without paying big bucks. I guarantee you I'm not getting paid big bucks.
That's true. We are live from Altus, Arkansas, which is right now it's partly cloudy. It's sunny. It's sunny. It's 82 degrees. We have very low humidity, about 42%. Tomorrow, though, we're expecting some scattered thunder showers for tomorrow and Saturday. But the sun's going to return Sunday, and it's going to be pretty cool Sunday, Monday. And so welcome to Altus, Arkansas. We are in the north. Northwest, northwest corner of Arkansas, in a small town. How many square feet?
Square feet. 1.8 square miles.
Okay.
Is the city of Altus, or the town of Altus?
Wow, that's
total population. Mm-hmm. 838 is the rural population, all non-farming. Although the reason. Because most of the wineries that we're talking about tonight are in Altus, Arkansas.
That's amazing. In 1.8 square miles, or I guess in that general area, right?
Yeah, that's actual town, you know, town.
Right. Okay.
But
here we are.
The distribution of age in the town of Altus is rather young. Most of them are. Young group, males, females, all younger. Average age is average age is around 32 years of age degrees.
Yeah.
And the average home price in the medium. Average home price in Altus is $73,000, as opposed to Arkansas, which is $105,000. So,
wow.
So it's a rather inexpensive housing there. It is The average number of rooms is almost 6 rooms in a house, so there are rather large houses there. The apartments and condos there are rather large also. Rent for the apartments is reasonably low. Average is only about $300, according to this chart I'm looking at here. Average homes, I'd like to say, is $73,000, which is really pretty inexpensive. There's no homes over a quarter of a million in Altus. And let's see. Well, this is information I don't think any of us care about. Time travel to work. But an interesting little breakdown. Now, here's an interesting statistic, though. First ancestries reported from Altus. And the reason I say this is interesting, because I'll tell you when I get into this. United States ancestry is 178, other groups 129, Irish 60, German 40, age 40, French 23, Lithuanian 14, Polish 14, European 9, Dutch 8, Italian 7, Scotch Irish 5, Scottish 5, Swiss 5, Norwegian 4, Belgian 3, Welsh 3, and Hungarian, Russian, West Indian, and Dutch West Indian all 2. But the reason I said this is important is because the people I talked to, the wineries, all claim Swiss German ancestry. So there's, you know, we're talking 48 people reported ancestry of German and 5 for Swiss. So interesting there that most of these people, and they're large families. There are some very large families in this area here, I found out. I'll tell you, I've never seen such a comprehensive breakdown of information for such a small town in my life as this little chart I just found here. Unbelievable. Everything you ever wanted to know about Altus, Arkansas. So
pretty detailed.
So Mike is live there on Main Street of Altus, enjoying the nice weather there. Probably had an opportunity to visit a couple of the wineries. Actually, probably had an opportunity to visit 3 of the wineries we're going to talk about today, because or 5 wineries, okay. Because all of them are right around Altus, and that's why he went to Altus to visit the town. I wish I could have went, but I had to man this into the speaker.
Of course. That's okay. I'm out here in the van by myself, so that's fine.
Yeah. Plus, I had to celebrate my birthday, and I didn't want to do it on the road with Mike.
I got to do that again. It's his birthday. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Plus, people still made it to your house, I see. So, Arkansas wines. Interesting. Arkansas wines, and I found different lists, and most of them only listed a few wineries. I mean, you know, 5, 4, stuff like this. I'm not getting a whole lot of wineries in different places. Most of them are one place only showed 2, another place showed 7, but then they showed out of the 7, 4 of them were out of business, and they listed the out of business wines, and it was driving me crazy trying to find Arkansas wines and what they had to offer in Arkansas. Then I finally found the site that I use all the time. And if you all want to follow along with me, it's the Wineries by State. It's called www.wineriesbystate.com. A great site, I think. And I've been using that. Went on to that and found 5 wineries listed. Whitaker Wine Cellars, Cowie Wine Cellars, Post Family Vineyards, Chateau Ozark Vineyard and Winery, and Mount Bethel Winery. And Chateau Ozark is spelled AUXARC, pronounced Ozark, which is very creative and cute of them. I called Chateau Ozark first. Not only who happens to be the sales associate, vineyardist, all around everything. He's the one I was able to talk to. Cody told me that the owner, Audrey House, wasn't available. She was out for the day, but he was willing to sit there and talk to me for a while. which was great. I mean, he's a very knowledgeable young man, and really had a lot to say and good information. The city of Altus and the area of Altus is sort of a plateau in the northwest corner of Arkansas. This plateau gets influence of weather from the south, northeast, west. The climate and the of Arkansas is very diverse. Hills, flat areas. You go to the very bottom of Arkansas, and the bottom part touches Louisiana. You get a little bit more of a moist area. You go to the center of it and north central areas of Arkansas. You have a lot of mountains, hills. If you live in Colorado, you call them hills. If you live down here, we call them mountains. You go to the east, and you're right at the edge of Mississippi and Tennessee. It's a lot of lowlands and stuff. You go west, you're right on the border of Texas and Arkansas, or Texas and Oklahoma, and you're going to start getting drier areas and all that. So very diverse climate. I was told by one of the people I talked to, if you want to see what the United States looks like in a condensed area, you just put Arkansas. Pretty much takes care of everything right there and all the different types of type of areas that you're going to find. One of those areas in the northeast corner is the Altus Plateau, the Altus town of Altus, an Altus area. Very small town, very small region up there, very small growing area, but it has a great influence. It I found that the Altus area and the vineyards up there grow a Zinfandel grape, which Joseph Posch, one of the gentlemen I talked to for quite an extensive period of time, Joseph told me that they've tried to grow the Zinfandel grape north of them, and it wouldn't grow. It died. It's been tried to grow south, and it wouldn't grow there. Going west is a little bit too dry, and just around the Altus area seems to be the home for the Zinfandel grape to be grown in this that part of the country, which absolutely fascinated me that they was growing the Zinfandel grape there. But I also found out that back, before I jump ahead of myself, the Chateau Ozark Winery. They grow vinifera grapes, and the vinifera grapes is the one that we're so used to, the Cabernets and the Merlots and stuff like that. But they also grow a little bit of everything. And this is something I found to be true of this area, the Altus Plateau. They grow everything. They are able to grow just about any type of a grape that is possible. They have the influence of the climates and the weather and everything, that they really don't have a problem growing anything, which fascinated me beyond words. It absolutely fascinated me with all the different stuff that they can grow there. Chateau Ozark does a what they call a Platinum Zin, which is a white Zinfandel. They do a Chardonnay, which these are all local native grapes. And the red wines, they do a Cynthiana. And this is funny. Everywhere in the country, people call a grape a Norton, N-O-R-T-O-N, Norton, except in Arkansas. In Arkansas, they call it the Cynthiana. Same grape. For some reason, Arkansas has hung on to the name Cynthiana. Everybody else calls it Norton. I don't know why the switch, why the history. I suppose I can look it up, and I will, and let you know, but because we will run across the Cynthiana and Norton and other states that we cover in the Midwest here. But the Cynthiana grape flourishes in Arkansas, and in the wineries that I talked to in the Altus area in Arkansas, a lot of them sell clippings. A lot of them sell grapevines. You can buy the Cynthiana grape clippings or grapevine from them. They ship all over the country. Furnish Cynthiana grapevines to just about everybody. I told everybody I talked to, Cody at Chateau Ozark Winery, also told Joseph at Post Family Winery, once it crosses the state line out of Arkansas, all of a sudden the name changes from Cynthiana to Norton, and that's just about how it works. But they grow also a Cabernet Sauvignon, a Syrah, a Zinfandel. These are all Chateau Ozark, and they have sweet wines also. But along with the ones I just named that you're they do muscadine wines. They have what they call an Altus Red Muscadine out of Chateau Ozark. They do an American Dragonfly Red, which is from the same family. They do a Dragonfly Red Mystery Cuvée, which is a little bit longer aged. They do a Mountain White, which is done with the muscadine families and the Rotundifolia family. They also have what they call an Ozark Mountain Savant, an Altus Red Muscadine wine. These are the dessert wines. They also do a port, an Altus Ozark port. Big variety of wines coming out of Arkansas, especially in the Altus area. Gentleman I talked to, Joseph Post from Post Family Winery, the Altus area is able to grow all types of grapes that we grow here in the United States. The Vitis rotundifolia, which is a Native American grape, the Vitis rotundifolia is the one that has grown here for centuries. And if you talk about American grape, that's the one. Also, the Vitis labrusca, which is the muscadine families and stuff. Vitis vinifera. Your Cabernets, your Merlots, your Chardonnays, all those is a vinifera family. Also, a native grape that he called Estefalenia, Vitis Estefalenia, which is a native grape to the Midwest. And Joseph, if you are listening, call in or email me or something like that. If I'm saying that wrong, I'm trying to listen to all the fantastic knowledge you had and write this stuff down at the same time. I may have written it down wrong. So grapes grow in Arkansas, yeah, especially in the Altus area. And it's funny because I find that when I say Arkansas wines, I'm really meaning more than anything Altus, because that's really where everything's growing. There's a total of 5 wineries in Altus. There's a total of 11 wineries in Arkansas.
Wow.
And most of them are in, most of the big ones are in Altus. Most of them are in Altus. The other ones are smaller fruit wineries and stuff like that. I also found, one website I found was talking about different wineries that are now out of business. Henry J. Sachs Winery, and no longer in business. Eureka Springs Winery. Eureka Springs is just actually northwest of where you are there, Mike. Northwestern corner of Arkansas. DeSalvo's Vineyards and Concert Vineyards are also close to that area there. These have went out of business since then. Concert Vineyard, I found that went out of business because the husband passed away and the wife just couldn't keep it up and was closed down the winery. Very knowledgeable woman, I understand, too, but she decided not to continue on after the husband passed away. So most of the wineries, again, in the northeast corner, because of the climates and because of the soils and because of the microclimates, and the Altus area is an AVA, American Viticulture Area, and one of the first ones designated in this country.
Mm-hmm.
When they started to designate AVAs, Altus was one of the first ones. One up in Missouri also was one of the first ones in this country. And then California started to pick up very shortly after that. California started to do it, and they made a big deal out of it, actually, which that's when everybody really started to become familiar with AVAs, and now you've got AVAs spread out throughout the country. But the only AVA in Arkansas, and I'm trying to let you all know this every week here about the AVAs in every particular state, the only one in Arkansas is the Altus AVA. that's right around the town there and the wineries there. Going back to Chateau Ozark, it is, I just mentioned the wines for you there. They, and all the websites, Arkansas, and I have to talk about government for a second here too. All the websites, when you go to Arkansas, every one of them has a big thing there. Go visit freethegrapes.org and help the shipping. The governor of Arkansas sent a letter to all the wineries a couple years ago stating you can no longer ship wines to individuals in the state of Arkansas. So what that means is that they can ship to people outside of the state, but they can't ship to somebody that lives 10 miles down the road. It just, they stop that. I mean, the wisdom behind it is, well, actually, I'm sorry, but there is no wisdom behind that. So it's something that they're trying to change, they're trying to fight. And all the wine websites from Arkansas all complain about that, and all of them have the link to freethegrapes.org and trying to change the laws. I also, every time I talk to everybody, brought up the House Representatives Bill 5034. That's the one I talked about last week about the changing of the laws of shipping in this country and all that. Some people were familiar with it. Some were not. All of them stood back into it to see about it because it's something that we need to take care of. So, again, 5034, stop shipping by small wineries. Virtually stop shipping unless you go through a unless you go through a distributor. Call your congressman. Stop it. I won't go into it. I did last week, but I won't go into it again. But again, it's something that we need to be aware of, and I always like to bring it up. So, Chateau Ozark, and you notice I pause every time I say that name because they spell it A-U-X-A-R-C. Ozark. A-U-O-X-A-R-C. Ozark. But they separate A-U-X, separate A-R-C. And then they have a little thing pronounced Ozark. And every time I look at it, it throws me off because I think it should be pronounced differently. But the Chateau Ozark does a uses a Miller Thurgau, Trowel, the Turner grapes. These are German grapes. They do very well with these German grapes. They've been growing these German grapes for some time, and they're very very proud of the fact that they are able to grow the German grapes and do well with the German grapes. They make a dry Sintiana, which Cody told me that it's a great wine. It's a very popular and great wine. It's not an overly sweet or overly powerful wine, just a Sintiana. Sintiana is a nice grape. I love the Sintiana or Norton grape. Missouri does a great job with the Norton. They really, Missouri, if anybody, has really brought to Norton a national recognition. And speaking of Norton, there is a local winery here in Florida, not too far from Florida State Winery, called Strong Tower Winery. Terry and his wife Janice run this and own and run it, and he has Norton planted, which is fascinating, the fact that Norton is susceptible to Pierce disease. And he's had it tested, his grapes tested quite often, and every time he's had them tested, it has tested positive for Pierce disease, but the grapes are thriving and the grapevines are thriving, which is a contradiction. So it's something everyone in the state is watching very closely, because if you can grow Norton and keep the Norton growing and all that, it may be something that we can see here in Florida popping up more and more. Of which, and I mentioned the grapevines being sold, the Sintiana out of Chateau Ozark, they sell grapevines. So if anybody wants to get the Sintiana grapevines, you can get 1 to 9 vines for $7.50 each, and then they go on up from. Then the amounts go up from there, and the prices go down. If you want to order 5,000 or more, you're only looking at $2 each for the grapevines. So, for $10,000, you can have yourself 5,000 grapevines and have yourself a regular vineyard and ready to go. They do offer grapevines, and they ship it. Ready to grow and ready to plant and all that, which is really something. I found that the Post family does the same thing, too. They offer grapevines for sale, and they do sell grapevines themselves. Something that this region, and I haven't seen this too often, this region does offer grapevines Purcell, one of the biggest propagators of grapevines in and actually in the country, I think, that sell the grapevines. Chateau Ozark is located just right close to downtown. They're open 7 days a week, and it's they are their own distributors. They have 38 acres planted. They do about 1 million cases a year, from what Cody told me. They are their own distributors. They can distribute. I'm sorry, they're required to use the distributors. They're not their own distributors. They can get a folks to be their own distributors. But Cody said that the license is extremely expensive, and you got to renew it every year, which costs even more and more money. And he says, actually, it's cheaper to use distributors if you don't own your license. So they don't own a license, but if they do, they can buy one. It is not illegal for them to have a license and to distribute, but it's the cost is prohibitive. They, like I said earlier, the state doesn't allow in-state shipping. You can't ship. If someone from the state calls and says, I want a case of your wine, they can't do it. People have to come and pick it up, but they can ship to other states. There's quite a few other states that they can package up and ship to. Arkansas also still has some dry counties. I didn't realize that, but Arkansas has, from what Cody said, quite a few dry counties still speckled throughout the state of Arkansas. I also talked just for a few minutes to Whitaker Wine Cellars. Not very long. The girl was busy. Amy, I believe it was, who I talked to there. Either Susan or Amy. I didn't get her name. And again, Robert from or Joseph from Post Family helped me a little bit on that. Whitaker has been around for a long, long time. A long time. Actually, they told me it was the first winery in Arkansas. I was corrected by Joseph again from Post Family. He said that the Post Family was the first winery in Arkansas. And either way, both of them started around 1880. Mm-hmm. I know. I said the same thing. Wow. 1880. And they have been in continuous operation, both Whitaker and Post Wineries, and actually Mount Bethel, since 1880, which... It's the reason for this is, and let me give you a little history of the wineries here in Arkansas, since we are talking about Arkansas wineries, and I guess that's the purpose of doing this, is so I can give you some history. Arkansas was settled and back in the mid-1800s. It was classified as a slave state. It withdrew from the Union. A lot of trains, a lot of crossroads went through Arkansas. After the Civil War ended, Arkansas boomed. It was right there at the edge to the frontier. Missouri boomed, Arkansas boomed. The great states to kick off. You start going down south into New Orleans, or into Louisiana, and New Orleans, the influence of that area wasn't a good area to start off from, so Arkansas and Missouri were. Altus was one of the big areas. A train came into Altus, and it was a fantastic area for people to head west. A lot of people settled in Altus. German-Swiss families settled there, and that was the Post family. This was back in the 1880s, that area there. Now, this I found this to be very interesting. There was a The family history of the Post family. They came, and Mount Bethel is an area right around Altus there. I don't think it's a designated area on the map or anything. I don't know if you happen to see anything that says Mount Bethel when you're there, Mike, but I don't think there is. But in the early 1880s, the German and German-speaking Swiss ancestors of the Post family came to Arkansas and found the European tradition of grape growing and venting wines for personal use. They weren't looking at doing a winery or vineyard or anything else. But as the westward expansion of the railroads and stuff like that went through area, the Post family settled there in Altus. And what they were doing was making wines, and the Altus is a coal mining community. It exploded. It had, before Prohibition, Altus had 42 wineries and over 10,000 people in it.
Hmm.
Now, it's impossible to imagine that. I mean, you know, it's a very small area, very, you know, just nestled right down a little plateau. But before Prohibition, 42 wineries and 10,000 residents. Then Prohibition moved in, and that changed Altus forever. People moved out. They started head west more and more. No reason to stay in Altus, no reason to continue on. A couple wineries did continue on, and those wineries are still in existence. They went through Prohibition by making their own wines and stuff like that. The great-great-grandmother of the Post family winery was thrown in jail. She was busted during Prohibition, and she was thrown in jail. In fact, there was a big article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about a mother of 16 from Altus, Arkansas, sent to prison because she was making wine. And during Prohibition, it was wrong. It was illegal, and so she got thrown in prison for it. And she was quoted as saying when she was in prison, "This is great. This is the first vacation I've had in I don't know how long," because she was away from her 16 children, which I thought was a great line. You know, takes her going to prison to get a rest. So, yes, yeah, that is good. So that was Grandma. That was Great-Grandma on that. And so she went to prison because of the fact that she was making wine during Prohibition. So continuing on in the winemaking tradition, at the end of Prohibition, it became a new era of winemaking. The around 1935, Prohibition ended in 1932 or 33, 30, I want to say 32, but I'm 34, actually 34, wow, I thought it was 32, it's 1934. I know it started in 1918, ended in 1934. That's when the wineries started to boom, the ones that were left there. This was the Post family winery. It started to take off, as did the Mount Bethel winery. I'll get into that in a little bit here. But the Post family winery, in 1935, acquired a federal bond winery permit and became the first licensed winery in Arkansas to manufacture and sell wines. They'd been selling wine for many years and doing it anyway, but they became the first bonded winery in Arkansas, the first official United States bonded winery in Arkansas to do so. Let me back up a little bit, too. Back in 1890, Herman Yeager from Missouri, a viticulturist and a knowledgeable man, very knowledgeable man, started to do grapevine studies and grapevine clippings and grapevine work in Missouri and Arkansas. His work earned him all sorts of awards in the United States. It also earned him one of the highest civilian medals that he can get from France because of his work in grapevines and stuff that helped in France. Civilian Medal of Honor, or whatever it is that they give out to civilians in France. Very rare, but Herman Yeager got it for his work with grapevines. He was the one that started the Saks Winery that was open from 1890 to 1994, when in 1994 it was closed because the owner of, or the great-great-grandson of the opening of the winery only had two daughters, and the daughters did not want to continue on the winery and continue on in the family business. And so Saks Winery closed in 1994. Herman Yeager did a lot to promote wines and grapevines and wineries in Arkansas, and actually in the Midwest and Missouri and all that area there. He was very instrumental in championing the cause of wines and grapes in the Midwest. In Mount Bethel Winery and Post Winery actually were tied together quite a bit. If you look on the websites, and this, I have to tell this story now. I talked to Robert, I'm sorry, I keep saying Robert. Robert and Kate Cowie are the owners of Cowie Wine Cellars, which is right around that area also. And I keep looking at my paperwork here, and I'm seeing Robert's thing. Joseph Post. Joseph is the youngest son of the family, of the Matthew Post, who was the owner and the grandson, or the son of the one who started the Post Family Vineyards. You have Daddy, who died in 1951, who had a winery. When Daddy died, his two sons, Matthew and Eugene, split. Eugene started Mount Bethel Winery, which is a mile down the road from the Post Family Winery, and Matthew took over the Post Family Winery. So you have the two brothers who started two different wineries. And the Matthew, who has a Post Winery, has seven sons, total of 12 kids. His youngest son, Joseph, is who I talked to. And I talked to Joseph for quite some time, actually. I mean, over an hour I was on the phone with him, and he was telling me history and stuff. And we had a great conversation when he was asking about my winery, and I was asking about things there. Joseph is actually a sales manager and plays a big role in everything there, big family operation. Eugene Post of the Mount Bethel Winery had eight kids, and those kids are the ones that are running it. But I talked to Joseph for about an hour, and he was talking about Post Family Winery and all that. Never mentioned once that he mentioned Mount Bethel Winery. We talked about other wineries that were around and all that stuff. He never mentioned Mount Bethel Winery. So I looked on the website, and I found Mount Bethel Winery, and I'm starting to read this. I'm starting to read basically the same history that Joseph just told me about the Post Family Winery. And I'm going, wait a minute, this is the Post Family Winery history here. Why does this say Mount Bethel? And so I'm looking, and on the website it lists all these family members, Eugene and Peggy Post family and the Debbie Post, Ramey family, and on and on and on, and Peggy Ann Post. And, you know, it tells you a little bit about each one and what they're doing and, you know, and all that. Peggy Ann Post lives right on site where the Bethel Winery is, and she works there daily and is always happy to go over the family's history with you, it says on the website. So I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Why are we finding so many of the things crossing? So I picked up the phone and I called Mount Bethel Winery, and the girl answered, and I told her who I was and about the radio program. And I said, I'm curious what's going on here. What's happening with the family? And so she explained to me that Daddy died, which was her grandfather, died in 1951. And Matthew continued as the Post Family Vineyard, and Eugene continued as Mount Bethel Vineyards. Basically the same vineyards, they divided up and everything, basically the same thing. Mount Bethel, is not quite as big as Post. Well, actually, it's not nearly as big as Post Family, but a lot of the family has continued to work in the Bethel Family Winery, Mount Bethel Family Winery. They've continued to do the same land and do the same work and everything. They're continuing the viticulture practice and everything. And the whole family is involved with it, very, very family-oriented there. Well, as I was talking to this girl, I said, oh, you must be Peggy Ann. She goes, you're right. I said, wow, look at that. She said, you're getting good enough. You can almost be a member of the family. And I said, no, I don't think so. I had too many people to remember names of. She says, well, you're not done yet. She says, Whitaker Vineyards, wine cellars? I said, yeah. She says, the great-great-grandmother is the great-grandmother of the Mount Bethel Winery and the Post Family Winery. She is related to them also. She said, so all the kids at the Post Family Winery, or at the Whitaker Winery, is third cousins to all the kids at Mount Bethel and at the Post Family Winery.
Oh, wow.
I go, wow. She goes, I'm not done. I go, okay. She says, Chateau Ozark, have you talked to them? And I said, yes, I did. She said, have you talked to the owner? And I said, to talk to her. Her owner's name is Audrey House. I said, I didn't get a chance to talk to Audrey. I said, but I talked to Cody in there. She says, she says, Audrey owns it. And I said, yeah. I said, Audrey's divorced. I said, so I didn't get a chance to talk to anyone. And since she's divorced, she says, well, she's divorced one of the sons of Matthew Post, who is the Post Family Vineyards. So everybody is related to everybody up on that hill where you are, okay? And it's just like, whoa. So I said, well, what about Cowie Wine Cellars, Robert and Kate Cowie from Cowie Wine Cellars? And she goes, no, those are the only ones that are not related to any of us, although they have an uncle from the family. So everybody and all the wineries there are all related to everybody else. And they all did great. Now, I that fascinated me. It just when I thanked Peggy and I said, Peggy, thank you for your information. She goes, if you need to find out anything else, give me a call. I'll be happy to tell you. she could be my contact there. So, Post Family Vineyards. I mentioned that quite a few times. Let me talk a little bit more about that. Post Family Vineyards is big. It's a big winery. It's a big operation. They made wine through Prohibition. 1880, they made wine through Prohibition. They made Sacramento wine, although not a lot. It wasn't a big thing. They really started their Sacramento wine business in 1980. Now 25% of their business is Sacramento wine. It's called Sabbatical Abbey Wine. And they said the local churches, a lot of the local churches around there, not the Baptists, everybody else uses their wine for the communion. So 25%, they started this in 1980, 25% of their business. They said they sell an awful lot of the Sacramento wine and communion wine. It really is. It's one of their big things right now. In 1890, Alfred planted Zinfandel grapes in that area there, in the Post Family area. He called it the California grape. He planted some of the California grapes. And they still have some vineyards planted with the Zinfandel. They run that vineyard in a most vineyards around the country go north, south, east, or west. In that area there, as you may have noticed while you're sitting there, most of the vineyards run north-south. The Zinfandel grapevines run from the southwest to the northeast, and Joseph told me that they referred to it as their tornado vineyard because in that part of the country, a lot of tornadoes, and that's the path they take, southwest to northeast. And so they refer to their Zinfandel plantings as their tornado plantings because of the angle of the vineyards. Prohibition had a big effect on them, on the post-family wineries. Actually, it moved a lot of people away, and it continued the post-family to do very well there because they were able to continue their operations unhindered by a lot of other wineries that were in the area. And again, Alfred Sachs was the one that started the Sachs Winery. I erroneously said Herman Yeager did it. It's Alfred Sachs that started the winery, which closed down in 1994 because the daughters didn't want to continue on with the business. The Post Family Winery, they're enormous. They are an enormous winery. I was shocked and amazed how big they are. They have 50 full-time employees.
Wow.
Yes, really. It's a surprise. A lot of grapes. They have a big business of selling grapevines. The tasting room is open daily. They include an old Zinfandel, which they're referring to as prophecy. They did their first bowling in 2008 last year. Last year they did 2008 bowling of the prophecy, and they said it's old Zen with a great taste, and they just put some time into it. And it's just really a fantastic wine. They're coming out with a new one. They just recently bottled the new one, the prophecy, and they said they are absolutely thrilled with it. They hope that it's going to start making some sort of a impression on people. The Post Family Winery had a restaurant back in throughout the early 1900s. It was always claimed that the restaurant was a nice place to grab some food while you're there drinking. They basically sold wines out of the restaurant, but because of the laws back then, they had to call it a restaurant. Joseph told me that they, back when he was young, and I asked him how old he was, he said he's 45, and if that's a secret, Joseph, I'm sorry. But he said he remembers when he was little, they used to bottle wine in pints and half pints and sell them to the winos. It was a cheap way to do it and a cheap way to make money and do a lot of bottling in small bottles just so that people can hide them in their coats and jackets and stuff. They say that's how he got involved in the wine business, by bottling small bottles like that when he was back 10, 11 years old. They have 200 acres of grapes planted, which they've been it's broken down into all sorts of types of grapes. The Post family has such a variety of different grapes available. All sorts of different types of grapes are planted. All sorts of different wines are available. Let me run through this list of the wines from the Post family. The red wines, they have a Cabernet Sauvignon and Ives Noir, Merlot, Red Muscadine, Red Table Wine, Prophecy, which is their Nzimino, Traditional Red, and the Nzimino. White wines, that includes the Chardonnay and Altus Delaware, which is a Muscadine-type grape, or actually Native American grape. Traditional White, Vidal Blanc, Vinoy, Niagara, White Muscadine. Blush and Rosés include a Blush Niagara, a Muscadine Blush, and a White Nzimino. Their Port and Dessert wines include an Altus Port, a Concord wine, a Della wine, a sherry wine, and a white port, all around 19% alcohol. And they also do some juices and jellies. They do a white muscadine juice, a red muscadine juice, Concord grape juice, Altus grape juice, and muscadine jelly red, and also muscadine jelly white. All this stuff is available. Joseph also told me that they do a lot of shipping of juice, furnished juice and grapes to wineries throughout the Midwest and around the country. They also bottle for many wineries. He said that they, I refer to them as shiners, which means that you put wine in a bottle without a label. He was referring to them as slickers or slicks. Same thing, either way. But you bottle them for other companies, and you just put them in the bottle, and then the other, and when you, the company gets it, they throw their own label on it. He said they do a lot of that. He said that they have grown. They're looking at continuously growing. It is one of the largest family-operated wineries in the country, and especially in the Midwest. A lot of the big wineries throughout the country has been absorbed and ate up by corporations, by conglomerates. It's happening more and more, and to have a company this big, this with this doing this much and not being swallowed by a big business is rare, especially to the Midwest. Joseph, Joseph is very knowledgeable about wines and very excited. He's still excited. Been involved with it for many, many years. And you can still hear the excitement in his voice when he talks about wineries and talks about Arkansas wines and what's available with Arkansas wines and how Arkansas has grown and how Arkansas wines have been around for so long and how they survived and everything. It's something that you can tell he is, it's a passion with him and something that you can't teach someone. It's just something that gets in your blood. And I found this over the last couple, 3 weeks that I've been talking to different people in wine. It's just something that gets in your blood. It just gets to be a passion. And you can always tell when you talk to the winery people and not just people who are part-time workers or working tasting rooms and stuff. Once you start talking to winery people, they tend to have this passion about what they're doing. And Joseph really exudes this passion in Arkansas wines and what Arkansas wineries do. He invited me up, to visit and go through the wines. We do, Florida States Winery does get some grapes out of California for blending purposes and stuff like that. He suggested that we might talk with the Post Family Vineyards and Arkansas Wines and see if we couldn't possibly do something with them. Mm-hmm. So that might be something in the future that I'm going to look into, see if maybe they might have something there. If the Zinfandel is anything, or the Cabernet, or the Merlot, or the Syrah is anything, and can't grow it here, might be able to get ourselves some ballings of those here. It's always a possibility. I mean, when I talk to these people and talk this stuff, it's exciting to find out. But the Arkansas wines, again, most of them are in Northeast Arkansas. Northwest Arkansas, up in Altus. And because of the unique area there, because of the unique climate, because of the unique growing conditions, because of the unique altitude of the lands, they grow everything. Arkansas, when you speak of Arkansas wines, I've always thought of Arkansas wines as sort of a nondescript, bland wine, and I'm going to have to reevaluate what I thought. I've had some Arkansas wines. I was born and raised in Missouri. I've had an opportunity to have Arkansas wines over my life, and I've had some, and I've always considered them, excuse me if anyone from Arkansas, but nondescript. But I don't remember all of them that I've had and what wineries they come from, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to definitely have to try to find some more Arkansas wines and try them again just to see what they're like. I can have to offer because the people I talk to, especially from the Altus area of Arkansas, there's some great wines coming out there and some great possibilities for wines and some just quite a future. Joseph said that Post Family Vineyard is looking at growing, but not so big that it can't stay small enough that they can pass it on to children and children of children. And that's really what their mission is. It's been within the family and owned within the same family since the mid-late 1880s. And because of that, they don't want to lose that and get it ate up by big companies or anything. And so they're trying to keep that family values thing about it. The thing that Joseph said, which I got a chuckle out of, he said, when you start talking about Arkansas and Arkansas wines, you have to remember that 80% of the population of Arkansas is religious, and those religions are against drinking. So he's fighting that uphill battle all the time, but he says, as long as you can ship it outside of state, it always works out well and all that. And he said, when you, and we always talked about government, always bring up government because it seems like wineries battle governments more than they do anything. He said that the people who get voted into office in Arkansas are people who are religious people because, again, 80% of the population is religious in Arkansas. I mean, a big part of the Bible Belt. And, so the people who get voted into the office are the people who are religious people, and when they are against drinking, it starts affecting the wineries. Mm. And that's why the governor sent them a letter saying you can't ship within the state. So It's an ongoing battle for them, just like it is everyone else. But it's fascinating. So, bottom line, if I want to recommend Arkansas wines, yes, I will. Arkansas, it seems like it has all sorts of possibilities. Chateau Ozark, Mount Bethel, Whitaker, Cowie Wine Cellars, Post Family, all of them from the Altus region, all seem to have great possibilities. And so get a chance, grab them.
Yeah, definitely. Very cool. Did any of them mention? Because I know we mentioned this on the other on some of the other states. Did any of them mention going? Having award-winning wines there. I mean, have any of them been rated nationally or anything?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Chateau Ozark, quite a few awards on their wines. They were very proud. In fact, as Cody mentioned that that he had some award-winning that they had quite a few award-winning wines. Funny that you missed that because Joseph never said anything. Post Family does a lot of selling of grapes and juice and stuff like that to other wineries and making stuff for other wineries.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just they have their own tasting room and they do a lot of stuff themselves and do a lot of events themselves and they do ship wines and they do taste wines. But so much of it is juice for other companies and things like that. They do a lot of business with other companies and other wineries and things.
Hmm.
And so he never mentioned awards. Cowie Wine Cellars, some awards there. Mount Bethel, some awards there. But overall, it wasn't something that was brought up. And usually, a good point, because usually when you start talking about wines to these different, the first thing they want to do is brag about their awards. Cowie Wine Cellars did get quite a few awards, and that's mentioned. They mentioned it, and also it's on their website. But it wasn't something that was brought to the forefront, except by Chateau Ozark. So, a good point.
Yeah, I was wondering because I know some of the other states that we've covered. You've mentioned, and I've,
yeah.
I have my notes. I'm going through them. Okay, I'm looking at the satellite view, and yeah, I mean the Post Family winery is to the west, and right next to it is the other family winery.
Mount Bethel. Yeah,
it's
down the road is Whitaker, and down from that is Chateau Ozark.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, they're all right there.
Yeah,
and I don't.
It's all related. Yeah.
Yeah, that was something else I was going to bring up, but I didn't know how. Like, because you said the Post Family Winery had 50 full-time employees, and I'm thinking, wow, okay. But
yeah.
I didn't want to, go that way.
I know, and neither do I, so let's go.
Yeah, okay, so.
Nothing gets you in Arkansas, then.
No. No. It sounded like a great bunch of people to talk to, and they were really
they were
proud.
They were really a lot of fun. And Joseph was a barrel of knowledge. And then when I called up there and talked to Peggy Ann and Mount Bethel, she had the Arkansas accent, which was just, adorable. And so it was really a lot of fun. It really was a great state to talk to and a lot of information, which I didn't know before. So.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, next week. Let's see. We're no
California.
Wow, we're at California.
California, and we're going to be spending a few weeks on California because there's so many different sections and regions and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to try to get a hold of different wineries in different areas,
mm-hmm.
and talk to them and try to impart. And I, maybe to sometime within the next couple of weeks, I may be taking a trip out to Tucson to visit my June granddaughter.
Yeah.
Freshly born granddaughter. We can go today. So.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Oh, thank you. I'll let you know. I'll let you know when that is in plenty of time. So.
Excellent.
But next week we start California wineries.
Wow, that's going to take a while.
It's going to take a while. Yeah.
I have a feeling they do make some wine.
They make a tad. Oh, one more quick thing here.
Sure.
Joseph told me. Mm-hmm. He checked the number of small wineries in France. The number of small wineries in France, or number of wineries in France, 36,000.
Wow.
That's what I said, too. I had no idea. He said, but they're all over the place.
Hmm.
Little small wineries all over France, 36,000.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is. It is.
Let's see. We have 19 seconds. Yeah, thank you very much, Ron, and we'll see everybody
thank
next
you.
Week as we start California. Contact Florida State Estates Winery, located in Land O'Lakes, Florida, at 813-996-2113, 813-996-2113. Visit them on the web at floridaestateswines.com. Thank you.
Oh, good night. Man,
that was quick. You know,
that was quick.
You know, that thing starts counting down. It's, oh, we're still on the other one.
Oh, yeah, 1,000 mics.
Hello, continuing 1,000 mics. For those of you on 1,000 mics, 1,000 mics, you can email the winery at corp@floon.com. That's C-O-R-P, the at sign, F-L-E-W-N.com. So at least we got half of our listening people out there to the rest of the information. And, yeah, I was going to hit the play button, but then I had to, you know, there was a question, and I don't know. Yeah, very interesting. Okay, let me start disconnecting from the other –